First of all, thank you so much for having me. It's so great to be on your show. Yes, we are really excited to be bringing Springfield the premiere of Mahler's Ninth Symphony, which is his last completed work and is one of those pieces of music that is just up in the stratosphere. It's widely considered to be one of the greatest symphonies ever written and one of those pieces that just has inspired people in all ways for quite a long time.
It's not like certain Mahler symphonies that just absolutely give one the willies, like the 6th or the 7th, but it is intensely moving, intensely funny at times, but mostly it's the deep emotion that comes through in the work. And it's not even it's the last completed symphony, but Mahler was working on a 10th when he died. But much of his later output, Song of the Earth, the Song Cycle, the Ninth Symphony, really are very valedictory.
Yeah, that's a great word, actually. And for anyone who knows Mahler and loves Mahler, I mean, Mahler was just a mess of contradictions in human form.
I mean,
he was brilliant and flawed. He was incredibly enthusiastic, but also incredibly depressive. He was both charming and difficult. He was the embodiment of just about every human experience. And one of the great things about— As is his music.
Yeah, right.
And almost anything by Mahler, any of his symphonies and some of the, you know, he didn't write that many other kinds of work except for that, but almost in any kind of Mahler composition, you have this huge palette of different styles and colors. But one thing about his last couple of works, and for sure the Ninth Symphony, is it loses that, I would call it that self-conscious quality, that he's often putting his wares on full display, his skills with orchestration, his skills as a conductor, his many ideas, trying to challenge different instrument groups to play higher and louder and faster and at the same time softer and slower and quieter. and that's all the part of the wonderful carnival that is Mahler. But something for a lot of people in the Ninth is it all just drops away and it becomes, instead of a studied reflection, perhaps, or an idea of something, it just becomes his summing up somehow. And he wasn't trying to sum
up. It's a very honest piece.
It's a very honest piece. And it has some of those wonderful Mahler moments, you know, those beautiful, huge forte chords, and it has its beautiful melodies, and it has all of the ingredients that any Mahler piece has, but it also has this...
the Austrian folk music and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And it has it in full display, but it's also amazingly and often painfully personal. And the endings, for example, of the first and the last movement are really unlike. There's very little in the late Romantic literature, at least, or any symphonic literature,
I would say,
that take 100+ people and turn it into a moment of the most exquisite intimacy. And there's a reason that this piece has generated so much, I guess, inner discussion. It's one of those pieces you can daydream about.
It's one of those pieces that gives you an insight into the man who created it in a way that a lot of music seems unable to do, even Mahler's music, like you said.
Exactly.
So much of it as self-revealing and everything as much of his music as this really bears it all.
It does. And I love that you use the word valedictory, because I was saying just the other day, I think for me, at least in my subjective opinion, when you read about a composer trying to make a statement about something in their music, for me as a listener, I'm often less convinced than when that statement happens naturally or automatically, as it does, I think, in this piece. And we are on a mission to perform all of the Mahler symphonies that haven't been performed in Springfield. So 2 years ago, we did Mahler 6, which is, I think, a really interesting piece to contrast with the Ninth. Mahler, when he wrote the Sixth Symphony, was actually a really good mood, but he wanted to write a piece about tragedy and loss and death.
Oh, boy. And,
and
as
it is.
I said, it'll scare the willies out of
it
you.
It will.
Don't listen to it in a dark room.
No. And his musical protagonist is defeated in the Sixth.
Yeah.
But the interesting story that goes along with it is that not long after, and actually some of this started happening before the premiere of the Sixth, Mahler's suffered a number of tragedies. He lost a daughter. He received what would essentially be the fatal diagnosis of his heart disease. He hadn't really realized it was so serious.
Right.
He lost some important jobs, and his relationship with his wife continued to become more difficult. So that was a piece that was supposed to be about tragedy. That was his design. And then you fast forward a couple of years to 1908, 1909, when he writes the Ninth. And even though Mahler had suffered a great deal by this point, for me, I don't think he was setting out to write a piece about sadness or tragedy.
No.
But it's a piece that I think makes anyone stop and think about life and the end of life and the choices we've made. And in Mahler's case, the enormous struggle that I think every human that has ever lived deals with is the internal frustrations and joys and disappointments of daily existence. And for me and for some others, I think the Ninth is a musical working out of those feelings.
How are your players responding to it?
They love it. It's, we, as an orchestra, we often play things that we try to play things that haven't been played here before, or that our players are unlikely to play elsewhere. So whether it be our university players or our Springfield Symphony players or wherever they're coming from, to give them something different. And on that level, I think the great majority of the orchestra is really excited about our Mahler cycle. It is, on the other hand, one of the most fiendishly difficult pieces ever written. And we've been doing that we've been doing the fiendishly difficult thing for a while now. Last year we did Shostakovich 10.
Yes.
And in a couple of years when we do Mahler 7, which actually just scares me a little bit even sitting here right now. These are incredibly difficult pieces, but one of the things I love about this orchestra is we're all there because we want to be. And like so many things in life, you can have fun doing a lot of things, but the things that are the most fun and rewarding are often things that have a challenge built in. So, yeah, we have to work really hard to do this kind of music. But it's also tremendously satisfying. And whether it's a professional musician or a sophomore in college that's taking this journey, it's always exciting to me to watch people incorporate this music into themselves and to have an experience of doing something they might not have an opportunity to do again.
This piece is 90 minutes long, so it is the single work on the program. Are you taking an intermission?
We will. We'll have a brief pause just because that's the kind thing to do between the second and third movements.
Right.
And we try to do that whenever we have sort of a singular work like this that is incredibly long.
Now, what size band do you have at your disposal for this? As you said, this requires enormous forces.
There are a few more than 100 in this orchestra, which when we've done these large Mahler projects, we tend to do. Mahler's an interesting composer in that he goes back and forth in the orchestrations that he mandates and that what are traditional. So if you watch a video, and there's so many, it's great with YouTube now. You can watch just about anything the Vienna or the Berlin or the Concerto Bau have ever played. A lot of times those European orchestras will often double winds in pieces like this, regardless of whether the composer writes it or not. In the case of the Ninth, he does in almost all of his final symphonies, he basically automatically doubles all of the woodwinds. So he writes it for 5 flutes, 4 bassoons, actually 5 clarinets, et cetera, et cetera. And so you're just guaranteed a large orchestra. And he likes to use 2 harps. That's a Mahler signature.
Yes, it is. Well, the Mahler Ninth will be performed on Thursday, September 6th at 7:30 p.m. at the Juanita K. Hammons Hall. And tickets will be available at the Hammons Hall box office, or they're available online at sdco.drury.edu. And that is the first concert of the season. What else do you have coming up?
Well, SDCO will have a fairly big break between the rest of our seasons. In February, we come back and we'll be presenting another Springfield.
I think they'll be rested by then.
Well, we hope so. We're going to do the Sibelius 7th, which is his final symphony, which is also valedictory, but a very different kind of piece. That concert, however, will be a celebration of sort of the new fusion of orchestral and jazz music. We'll be doing a piece by New Zealand composer John Sathis that was originally written for renowned tenor saxophonist Michael Brecker. Mm. And in that piece, we'll be bringing in Kansas City drummer Todd Strait and then Stephen Jones, who's the director of jazz studies at Texas Tech University. They are essentially performing a concerto for orchestra for tenor sax and drum set. But unlike most fusion pieces, the orchestra will sound like an orchestra and the jazz players will improvise the entire work, which is what one would do in a jazz piece. So we're really excited about that. And then we'll come back at the end of the year in April to do our Young Artist Competition concert. And we're actually expanding our Young Artist Competition this year and are excited to roll that out in the coming months. And we'll also be giving listeners a little bit, not the entirety of, but a little bit of William Walton's Symphony No. 1.
All right. Once again, you can see information on the entire season and information on the orchestra itself at sdco.drury.edu, and you can order tickets as well at that website. All right, Chris, thanks for coming in. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much, Randy.